Get ad-free episodes of the Future Commerce Podcast and bonus After Dark content by joining Future Commerce Plus. Our membership at Future Commerce Plus is your gateway to discount on print and merch up to 15% off, exclusive invites to industry events, and access to our private GPT. Plus, you'll never be interrupted with an ad ever again. Get it today by joining the membership at futurecommerce.com/plus.
Future Commerce is brought to you by the Payment Services for Adobe Commerce team. Payment Services empowers Adobe Commerce and Magento OS merchants with simplified, secure, centralized payment processing. Learn more now at adobe.com/go/payments.
Hello and welcome to Step by Step, a podcast by Future Commerce presented by Adobe Commerce Services. I'm Philip, and today we are continuing our five-part series in season 12 of Step by Step. This is episode 4, and we are joined by Michael Chen. Michael Chen is the director of e-commerce operations over there at one of my favorite brands, Sugarfina. I can't think of a greeting card holiday or one of those holidays like a Mother's Day that has gone by where Sugarfina didn't accompany some gift that we have given. And it's always an incredible elevated experience for having candy and having gifts that mean something and just deliver a smile to the face of a loved one that you may have. But Sugarfina, as it's been growing, has an important job. And Michael Chin's job is to consolidate technology and select the right technology for various teams in their organization. Today on the podcast, we are demystifying and continuing to demystify what this concept of seamlessness means in the enterprise. And today, we're specifically diving into one industry buzz term, single handshake. And this one hand to shake mentality of consolidation of software is something that I think plagues a lot of businesses that are in that growth from mid-market up into enterprise. And we're talking to a business that has already done this. Sugarfina, of course, has an incredible B2B business, but they also sell direct-to-consumer, and they do a tremendous amount of marketing that powers all of that from SMS and email to the way that data feeds feed those punch-out experiences in other platforms. So today on the podcast, we're going to demystify this term of single handshake. And this podcast is for you. Maybe you are in a smaller company and you're looking to consolidate operations and you're working with various teams who have different needs and you're trying to orchestrate or instrument a guide to purchasing software better. You're looking to maybe partner with people from outside your organization that have expertise to help you purchase software better. Just hearing it from Michael himself might help you decide how you might go about it. Maybe you have a number of investments in these point solutions and you're a leader of a team that selects the software. Maybe you are seeing yourself in Michael's shoes here today as we demystify the idea of a single handshake, one hand to shake in consolidating operations in your e-commerce business, step by step. Today, we continue our 12th season of Step by Step as we dive into this concept of what seamless means and how we can define it and what it might mean for your business in building seamless, next generation, elevated commerce and customer experience. Today, joining us on the show is the Associate Director of E-commerce Development at one of my favorite brands, Sugarfina. Welcome to the show, Michael Chen.
Thank you, Philip.
We're a big fan here in my house, in the Jackson house. I can't think of a greeting card holiday that goes by where Sugarfina isn't part of the gift giving. Tell us a little bit about the brand and your role there.
Sure. Well, the brand is an elevated experience basically for candy. It's kind of like, I'd compare it to like Godiva and other brands. My role is the Associate Director of E-commerce Development. So I developed the MarTech stack here. So anything from, list track, the ESP to Attentive, SMS, Go Data Feed, whatever it is, the MarTech stack, I build the whole infrastructure. So, yeah.
It's important, right? You're making the trains run on time to keep the demand engine of the business running. SMS and email, how integral are those to the online growth of the business, would you say?
I'd say it's a big chunk of the business. You know, ListTrack generates quite a lot of revenue for us, and also Attentive as well. So those are main, really important parts of the business.
In your role these days, you're really responsible for operating all of these pieces of software. Tell us a little bit about some of the challenges in 2023 that you've overcome or you've had to face in having multiple software investments and how you grow a team that's capable and working in concert and across all of them.
Yeah, good thing that you asked about ESP and SMS, because like right now it's not really integrated with each other, you know, like talking to each other. So basically, you know, we'll have an email sent out and, you know, maybe we'll have a SMS, you know, a day or two later, or sometimes we might over communicate, you know, to the customer. So, you know, having a, you know, like a everything in one system, you know, would probably help out a lot more than, you know, just having two separate systems, you know. So I know like in Attentive and ListTrack, you can build out journeys and, you know, just have, you know, an email fire out and you'll have an SMS, you know, right after, you know, just to always be front facing with the customer. So I think that's one of our challenges, you know, with using two different systems.
What is the current sort of strategy around evaluating software that you have in the business today? And what does that role look like when evaluating new pieces of MarTech software at Sugarfina?
I think evaluating, you have to really ask other people that use the software, you know. I ask around, you know, other people that might have used, you know, whatever it is we're going to use. So like if we're going to integrate like Xtol, you know, I'll ask people that have used that. And also I'd ask for, you know, a demo. You know, usually they have a pretty good, you know, a deck, you know, that, and we go through every part of the software and also just using the software, you know, just maybe a trial period. And you kind of really get to know, you know, if the software is right for you or not. But one last important thing I think is, you know, the service, you know, the account managers, they make a huge difference. So a lot of times you don't know how to use the software in the beginning. So if you, you know, if you have that help, you know, to do that, you know, that like you can have a point of contact and ask them questions that's really important. So like a white glove service, you know,
and it's important too, right? In today's day and age, what is the, you know, what is the makeup of your team? You know, I would love to believe that you're a solo operator doing it all yourself and sort of, you know, like in the engine room, pulling all the levers. But you know, what does a team like yours consist of and how do you sort of focus on building that team and maintaining that team?
Well, my team is kind of like, I kind of sit in the center of supporting marketing, supporting e-commerce, supporting customer service. So I kind of touch almost every part of the business, you know, but we all work together to make it happen.
And so software selection and software fitness determination of the right type of software that you need at this point in your business is it's a team decision, right?
It's a team decision. You know, like I usually do the research and all the stuff up front, the filtering of you know, like the top softwares, and we kind of like go from there. So I'll pick like the top two or three, you know, and we'll figure out which one's the best, you know.
So yeah, let's define this term that we keep hearing. You know, I sort of said it in the beginning of the episode. Is I've heard for a number of years now that the goal is to have a seamless experience, especially in customer experience. How do you define seamless, and what does that mean to Sugarfina?
Eliminating all the friction points, you know, from the time they find this, the website, you know, go on the website, you know, to check out and pay for the item, that should be like really, really smooth, you know, there's UI UX, you know, that we do to lessen that friction, you know, and make that journey a lot faster. You know, from the backend side, there's a lot of softwares we have to use to make that experience, you know, like a lot better too. We talked about ESP and SMS, you know, and, you know, we have a bunch of different other software in the tech stack. Just making that experience, you know, a lot better for us, you know, because we have to log on to different websites, you know, SaaS software. And, you know, we have to remember where the analytics are. We have to remember how to do different things, you know, within the software. So I think, you know, making that part easier for us would be beneficial because, you know, they save a lot of time and effort.
So we talked about this idea of seamless. It sort of hints at the fact that there are seams and that you have to accommodate for those seams, meaning like we're transitioning from one piece of software to the next. And a great example there that I've always used is, due to security reasons and for privacy reasons, I don't think that most customers understand that when they're checking out on a website, that the credit card form that they're filling out is a window to another website. It's the bank. Like, you're dealing with the bank directly. And the brand is, you know, a portal into the bank. That is its own form of seamlessness. But we don't seem to find the same sort of, we don't make the same sort of affordances for the back-end business operator. If you had to venture a guess, how many softwares do you think that your back-end team at Sugarfina have to live in to make the customer's journey as seamless as possible?
Oh, man. I'd say at least probably 7 or 8 different. Wow. Different, yeah. And we're adding more, you know. So, yeah, it's quite a bit.
Do you think that a function of having that, you know, those pieces of software are sort of the growth trajectory of the business and the age of the business and the maturity of the business? Or is there a real thought process around sort of single point solution, best in class solution, each team chooses its own piece of software? How do you think that that has come to be?
I think right now, you know, it's like ever since I started, you know, like it's part of my job to figure out, you know, which softwares that we need that will generate the most revenue. So, just for example, you know, we're looking into a software called Xtol, you know, for friends referral, mm-hmm. you know, you know, we've spent a lot of time evaluating that software. And so I'll bring that up to, you know, our VP and then, you know, our CEO, and then we kind of decide from there. I think once that happens, then we kind of bring it down to the marketing and e-commerce teams and, you know, get their feel of it too. And we kind of make a final decision.
Payment services for Adobe Commerce and Magento Open Source is a centralized payment solution that allows merchants to offer their customers multiple secure ways to pay. Manage payments for all your storefronts, get intuitive reporting and reconciliation, and save precious time with easy updates, all from an extension built and backed by Adobe. From checkout to payout, find out how Adobe's integrated e-commerce solution can support your online store and grow your business. Find out more about payment services today at adobe.com/go/payments.
I'm curious, in this particular round of, you know, software procurement, once there is a decision maker there, what is the, what's the actual process? Do you use like an RFP? Like, what is the instrument that you use to sort of help qualify various vendors?
Well, you know, it's kind of like, from my years of experience, you know, mm-hmm. I've been doing this for quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You kind of have a feel of once you go through that process of filtering it out, going through the demo, you know, talking to the sales reps, you know, using the software, you know, you kind of know, and asking other people whether, you know, what they feel about it, whether or not, you know, something that, you know, that they like or not. Once you go through those steps, I think you come to a good decision, you know.
Let's kind of get into some the meat of this particular episode's topic, which broadly we were talking about seamlessness. Another term I've heard over and over again is this idea of single handshake, which is something I think a lot of software salespeople say, but I don't know that they could easily define. If I had to define it, I think it comes down to this concept that over time, you wind up amassing a number of software contracts from a number of different vendors, and there's a lot of hands to shake. It seems that when you get to a certain growth in your business or a certain level of maturity in your business, you start to wonder if there's friction in managing all of those different pieces of software. Let's talk a little bit about how you think about consolidation. Like, what could you tell me about how your thought process works around consolidating software, and how you would come to the decision, whether you've done it or not, but whether you would come to the decision and how you might come to the decision when it's time to consolidate?
I can give you an example. We kind of use this search engine tool Celebros. And we moved off of that to Adobe Live Search. With Celebros, we kind of had to, you know, log into, you know, a separate, you know, like a SaaS software, you know, like a URL, and you have a dashboard and things like that. So you kind of have to go off of a, you know, Magento site. So right now, everything is in Magento. We have Adobe Live Search. We have product recommendations, and everything's working in one place. So I don't have to go to different places, you know, and try to figure out, you know.
Another suite of software, right?
Yeah. And it saves a lot of time and headache.
And one more dashboard to have to consolidate into a report at some point, right?
Yeah, exactly. So,
you mentioned one earlier, which is sort of the email and SMS journey, and sort of you know, this potential future opportunity for consolidating there. What are some others in your, you know, sphere of influence? Today it sounds like the website and the shopping cart are one and the same. You're on Adobe's stack.
Yeah, we're using Magento. Yeah.
Okay. Are there other parts of the Adobe stack that you're also taking use of today besides Live Search?
Live Search and product recommendations. Those two right now. Yeah.
How much of a factor is, you know, cost consideration in the way that you think about consolidation? So one factor might be fewer hands to shake, if you will. One might be that there's a having this friction, like you said, on your side of having to live in multiple pieces of software to have one unified experience. But another might be saving money. What are some potential benefits that listeners might be able to think through around the ways that they may find, I don't know, some ways to consolidate and save money over time?
I understand, you know, every business, you know, wants to save money. You know, it's part of the, you have to save money in a business, because otherwise, you know, you just like go out of budget, you know, and it's all kind of bad things happen. So, I think saving money, you know, it's an important thing, but I would look at it toward, you know, as a, you know, is it actually better? You know, if you're going to consolidate, is it actually better, you know, for the business? You know, is the functionality the same? You know, because a lot of times, you know, you may switch over from a list track to something else, and you're consolidating and you're saving money. You're saving like, I don't know, $5,000 or $10,000 a month. But, you know, are you really, you know, getting the most value in the new software? You know, is it easy to use? Are you getting the support? So there's a lot of factors, you know. So I wouldn't say saving money is the most important thing, you know. So there's a lot of research you have to do.
That's a profound idea here, where the dollar amount may equate to a level of service that might result in more friction in account management on your side in solving problems. What does your wealth of experience tell you, and how you qualify that, like, account management level from vendor to vendor? Is it sort of just the devil you know? Like, you know what to get if you reach for a certain vendor in a certain instance because you've worked with them before?
Well, you know, during the initial phase, you know, of evaluating the different softwares, you kind of know whether you're getting white glove service or not. And sometimes you could just ask, you know, are we getting white glove service? You know, for example, you know, Attentive, they'll just say, we give you white glove service, you know, so it's, and, you know, they do. So, I think that part is really important, having that account manager, you know, somebody to go to when you have issues, because you're going to have a ton of issues, you know, in the beginning. And, you know, once that's resolved, you know, things kind of smooth out a little bit. But that initial part is really important.
Yeah, the initial integration.
Absolutely.
Always takes some time, right?
Yeah. And, you know, the first 3 months, you know, getting used to the new software, you know, it takes a little bit of time, a learning curve,
a ramp up. There's definitely factors there. One of our other episodes in this series that we recorded, one of our guests, a pair of brilliant people that are in solution consulting, they had a really interesting perspective on that, in that it's not just the learning curve or the ramp up. It's that to extract the most amount of value from any piece of software requires an intimate understanding and time spent in using the software. And the hard things become easy over time. So you grow into, this, these capabilities. You don't just turn it on day one. Yeah. Is that your experience too?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's always a learning curve, you know, and it's like, after you use it, the software for a while, you know, you kind of know what it does and what it doesn't do, you know, so that part you can't really, you know, learn in the beginning, you know, like you kind of learn that a little bit later, but, yeah. So,
Sounds it's like a relationship. There's levels of trust.
Yeah.
Right. And you're developing absolutely. A relationship over time. Yeah, for sure. Let's think about like some of the common pitfalls. One of the challenges and one of the roadblocks in consolidating business pieces of business software is this idea that the consolidation theoretically would maybe be cross-functional. It takes place across multiple teams, and that means multiple teams have to evaluate software in order to qualify that, you know, this one vendor that consolidates multiple pieces of point solutions would, you know, be valuable for the enterprise. But everybody has a day job. How do you marshal support in the organization from various other teams to give time, you know, enough to qualify that this thing that, you know, Michael is working towards is valuable for the business and would be useful for the team?
We get feedback, you know, so once we integrate a new software, you know, they have no problem letting us know, you know, what they think. So we get that pretty quickly, you know.
Yeah. But getting time, like, is that a developing a relationship and a rapport with them? What does that look like on your side in order to get everybody aligned that we are doing this, we're doing this in this period of time, and this is the project and here's the project plan? Like, what does that look like specifically for you?
Once we finish integrating the software and, you know, it's pushed to production, you know, and we train the teams on it and they start using it, we have like weekly meetings and we have like quite a few touch bases, you know, and we get feedback weekly.
The businesses I've worked in, nobody can get on the same page. Okay. Don't look at my LinkedIn. But, having alignment that there's a direction of the business, does that come from the top down? Is there a vision that's been set into motion by a CTO or somebody who's sort of giving you the direction? How do you align around those initiatives?
When we evaluate the software, we filter out the best ones, you know, and then we kind of just, you know, go from me to the VP to the CEO, and then, you know, we kind of decide. And from there, we kind of, I guess we align that way. And then, mm-hmm. you know, we bring it down to, you know, the marketing team and e-commerce team. You know, whether they're really aligned or not, you know, it's another story, but, you know, it's like, yeah.
In my experience, it's been one of those, everybody has an opinion. And I think sometimes software can be like a security blanket, right? You're comfortable with something because you've had it for a long time. You know it really well. Yes, it has its flaws, right? But it's something that keeps us, you know, we feel secure with it because we, you know, generally it's working. Changing that can be kind of scary. Have you ever had to deal with sort of those, that friction and objections of like the amount of time it takes to qualify new software? And how do you overcome some of those objections to get the team excited about it? Or is it just you're in the candy business? Maybe that's not even a problem.
I think last year we're kind of in the process of, you know, like thinking if we're wanting to switch over to Attentive, you know, because they're having an ESP as well, they're building one. So, you know, we're kind of like in this process right now of evaluating that.
If you had to think about some of the potential risks that others might face, what are ways that if you have advice for other people and you're, you know, you have this, you have so much experience here, others that might be listening that are in your role, what are some piece of advice that you might have for them in thinking through, you know, how you stitch these experiences together and how you consolidate them into, you know, one seamless experience?
Well, like you said, you know, this takes a lot of time, you know, so I've been in e-com for quite a long time, you know, over 10 plus years. And it just really a lot of trial and error. For me, it was a lot of trial and error. And I kind of felt, you know, learned the hard way because I used some really bad ESPs before, you know, and moved my way up to the better ones. And, you know, just the same thing with the other software. A lot of times just getting other people's opinions on, you know, what they think, you know, if they're using a particular thing, you know.
What is your opinion? You have opinions, I'm sure, right? Is your mindset around forward progress, continual improvement?
I think we kind of have to because if your competitors are, you know, and if they're doing it, you have to be more efficient and, you know, more optimized. It's throughout my career, it's just the way it's, you know, the train has been moving, you know, it's just constant improvement every day.
What do your customers say? Do your customers also challenge you to improve?
I don't really work with the customers, you know, the CX team does, you know, so they get a lot of the feedback from the customers directly. But from what I've heard, you know, like you said, you know, just making the experience a lot more seamless, it's really important. And, you know, just removing all the friction points as much as you can. It won't be perfect, but, you know, just as long as it's better than before.
Yeah, that's all you can hope for is better today than last, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. I appreciate that. I always end the show by asking, what is the future of commerce for you?
Everybody's saying, you know, AI this and AI that, you know, generative AI where, you know, it's like all your jobs, like, you know, merchandising, you know, graphic design, maybe will be taken over. My job, you know, might be taken over in 10 years.
What a great time. Thank you so much. Michael Chen, the Associate Director of E-commerce Development at Sugarfina. Again, one of my favorite brands. Really appreciate you taking time to come on the show.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you for listening to Future Commerce. You can find more episodes of this podcast at futurecommerce.com and subscribe so you never miss another piece of content. We have our Vision Summit coming up Chicago, June 15th. Join us, be our special guest as we talk about what the future looks like and the ways of seeing commerce, how that is changing. Some special guests. Find more out about that at futurecommerce.com/summit. Thank you for listening to Future Commerce. Thank you for listening to this episode of Step by Step. This season was brought to you by Adobe Commerce Services. We're so glad for their continued support and partnership. If you want to find more episodes of this podcast and other podcasts, other seasons of Step by Step, as well as our other podcast properties, including Visions and Archetypes and the Infinite Shelf podcast, and of course, none other than the Future Commerce podcast, you can find all of that at futurecommerce.com. We provide insights in your inbox too, twice a week. That's on Wednesday and Friday. The best of what you need to know in predicting the future of retail and e-commerce. You can find that at futurecommerce.com/subscribe. We're so proud to have partnered with Adobe. Thank you so much to Adobe for their support. And thank you so much for listening to this season of Step by Step.